FlexMuscle.com brings you After Hours featuring the Whack Pack.
This is Mr. G.
Good day, mate.
I've gone to anger management 3 times.
Come on, get it out already over here.
Good day, mate.
Here's your host, Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
Welcome to another wacky episode of After Hours featuring the Whack Pack. My name is John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my more muscular co-host, Dave Palumbo. Dave, we made it to the second episode, and by all stretch of imagination, people want more. Tonight's going to be off the charts, man.
Now, John, you think the Whack Pack is ready for what we got planned here?
Do they know? Do they know what's happening?
I kind of gave a little teaser, but I don't think they really understand exactly what exactly a pickup artist does or is, for that matter.
Well, because they already think they're, like, you know, the best.
Right,
that's
right.
That's why.
And Jimmy thinks he's got the best game in town. Mr. G does. And I'm sure Robbie definitely thinks he's got the best game.
I never said that.
Robbie?
Jimmy's getting insulted. We're insulting his personal side.
Wine. Jimmy, bring Jimmy wine.
Hey, we got to get him a glass of wine.
We got to have the wine flowing here.
Where's Colette?
Colette's in the city. She's in the city.
Hell's she in the city for? We got a show going on. The Whack Pack.
She tried to get as far away from the house as possible.
You know what she did? She
went to Manhattan.
You're right. She actually asked me when the show will be over, and that's when she's coming home. So.
And then she's going to spot you 2 more hours and then come home.
Probably. Now, Mr. G came into the studio this time because last time wasn't enough with the smoke machine. Now he has, like, placards and, like, big, like, posters he brought in, and he's actually dressed as, like, looking like, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, John. He looks like Jay from the movie. He's got the.
He just doesn't understand that radio does not require visual aid.
He's working his way up to to the TV show we're going to eventually have, I guess. So he's laying the groundwork.
I guess we're going to have no choice because people are going to want to know what he looks like. That's actually a good marketing ploy.
Yeah, it is. Now, I know he's not going to talk until we let him do his intro, so I'm going to hold off on that for a minute. I want to go to Jimmy because when I heard a car pull up to my house and I looked at it, it was a black truck. I'm like, I think that's Jimmy's, but there was like Sweet Love playing on the radio. Now, and I saw Jimmy get out of the truck.
Oh, you heard that? Huh?
I heard that, Jimmy.
I like that.
He is a sensitive guy.
He's a very sensitive guy.
Well, I tell you, I had some week, man. I had. Do I got time for a quick story?
Of course.
A
friend of mine gave me a Viagra. I've been like this week is like the love week for me. I don't know what's going on. A friend of mine gave me a Viagra. Said, "Yeah, Jim, check this out." I was in the restaurant the other night, so I took the Viagra. You know, and I says, "I never used one of these before." You know?
You never used the Viagra?
No, I don't need one. I got my shit is good.
It's Italian. Italian people don't need Viagra.
The Italian stallion, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, make a long story short.
Hold on. So why'd you take the Viagra? Were you having a little trouble?
I took it, because I was out. We were all out. We were celebrating something. We were all having some drinks, and so my friend says, "Yeah."
He was wasted, so he wanted to make sure he got it up.
You got it, John. Like, I didn't want to say that, but that's it. So anyway, I took the thing. I said, I'll give it a shot. And I go home, and I lost the freaking thing.
What?
I don't know what happened.
It worked in reverse.
The Woody.
What?
It worked in reverse.
The pill or the Woody?
I lost the pill, the Viagra.
Oh, I thought you lost the erection.
No.
That's what I thought he lost.
So that was on Tuesday night. What's today? It's Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah, last night I had to bring the dog to the vet. The dog had a fucking hard on for 2 days.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't.
I guess he
picked up on it and ate it. And that son of a bitch had a shit on him like this, man. I mean, I had to take him to the hospital.
Was he humping your leg all day?
He couldn't even walk, man. It looked like he had 3 legs.
What was it, 100 milligram? What the fuck was that thing?
It's a full Viagra he ate, man.
Probably 100 milligram, 2-3 days.
He was licking it. You know how they do that, the dogs? He was trying to relieve himself,
Has he fixed the dog?
No, he's not fixed, no.
Oh, man, he must have been humping everyone. Man.
Yeah, he was doing the couch and the chair, and I was walking around the third leg. I was like, what the hell? Something's wrong with this dog. So he took him to the vet. He's all right now, but.
So you almost killed your dog, basically.
We almost killed him with a heart on.
Wow.
That's possible.
It's tough love, John.
It's a nice way to go out in life.
Speaking of
Now, Jimmy, there's a whole thread on the RX Muscle forums trying to get Jimmy on this Biggest Loser show after we talked about it last week. And Jimmy originally thought he was going to be Jinx, but there's a big groundswell, Jimmy. It seems like everyone wants to see you on that show.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, if I may, to all the fans out there who enjoy listening to us. And we actually enjoy being on the radio, you know, making you guys laugh and giving you a whole bunch of stories and news. If you guys would, I would really appreciate if you could email in to RX Muscle Forums. Jeff, the producer, actually put a thread up there giving you directions and telling you how to email the show to support me to get on here, because I'm up for being on the show right now. So I figured with a little, you know, a few more, you know, a few emails from my fans, that that maybe that would push me over the edge to get on. You know, so
from your fans, they may ban you from the show.
Jimmy, did you?
Well, you know, hey, look, I stand behind my fans. So if they ban me because of my fans, then I'm out. You know,
did you actually go there yet and meet anybody, or you just sent it up?
No, what's going to happen is next month they're gonna fly in the guys that they, you know, want to. They're considering, you know. So I'm one of the guys that they consider.
Can I make a suggestion to you, Jimmy?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know this might sound very
this
odd.
This is Bobby Smalls is talking, by the way.
Biggie Smalls.
Right. Biggie.
Jimmy, the two, I'd like you to take Dave
what
with you.
What does that mean, Biggie Smalls? You were bigger one time than now small?
Yeah.
So no. Kind of put it together,
it's
Biggie
like
Smalls.
The reason why
joke.
I say Biggie Smalls is I'm the white Biggie Smalls. I'm still alive.
Oh.
No, the other guy's dead. But we always call you Bobby Smalls, and you always have to correct us by
Biggie
saying
Smalls.
Biggie Smalls.
I'd like you to, for you to do something, you got to do something different. When you go there, I know you look, you got no hair, you look the part, you look rugged. I'd like you to take Dave's two white dogs with you. Something weird. Carry them in both hands.
You mean like when Jack Lane's
doing
his
something fucking strange, yeah. So they know there's a soft side of Jimmy. So you got the soft and you got the hard look.
Should I wear the sock too?
Oh, yeah, the white sock.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Everything white. It's like a white party.
Now, I got a story I got to tell you about Bobby Smalls, or Biggie Smalls as he likes to be called. But I'm going to hold off because I'm going to let Mr. G do his intro first He's not participating.
Yeah. Well, he's participating.
He's not saying anything.
Well.
You notice he hasn't said anything yet.
He just left the studio. Dave, where's he going? This
is
ridiculous.
But, Mr. G, here's what we need to do. Once you do the introduction,
you got to start talking about something.
All right?
Turn it up.
So do your intro and then go right.
No one's listening to you, John.
About,
no one's listening to you.
Why?
This is Mr. G, and I am the truth.
Jimmy.
And I say, listen to the Whack Pack. If you and you and you and you and yes, all of you get ready for WrestleMania. 1, 2, hear the how's everybody doing out there today?
Hey, I love it.
Dave DeLongo!
Go right into the Boston Blue story.
Hold on. I got to just tell you something. First of all, because no one can see what went on here, I have to describe it, John, because it was...
Did the smoke machine?
The smoke machine started as you were trying to tell him what to do
before
and he wasn't listening. Then he started the music. And then he brought in a big banner that said something. Hold up that banner, Mr. G.
Well, first of all, I got to say, I have a lot of fans now, and I just hired two
The smoke machine's going off again. Uh-oh.
Two divas to be my, like all the wrestlers, they have divas, so I need my divas. So apparently I got a lot of fans, there's a lot of fans, and I have my two divas, but they got injured, so they can't come. They're going to have to come next week. So we're supposed to carry a sign. They're actually two beautiful black girls. They're actually also porn stars.
Chocolate Thunder.
Yeah, one name is Playa Toya, and the other girl's name is Chocolate Thunder. And Chocolate Thunder was supposed to hold a sign that says, the sisters, well, she actually made this up. The sisters love Mr. G, the truth. He is the biggest.
Let's see it.
Now, they didn't make it up because I know you wrote that because you spelled the word sisters wrong.
I want to sell the girls because he said the girls.
What do you mean I spelled sisters wrong?
Jimmy,
how do you spell sisters? Wait, hold on. It says sisters is S-I-S-S-S.
Yeah, three S's.
T-E-R-S.
He graduated high school, right?
Three S's. That's really good.
Quiet down, Mr. G, for a second. So he comes in with this holding the sign, playing the music, you know, doing his rock out thing. smoke covering the room, and all of a sudden he has Jimmy and Bobby pull these things, and there's confetti flying through the air in my room. It looked like it was New Year's Eve in Times Square in here. The dogs are like traumatized. They don't know what to do.
And then the visual end of it completely
lost.
Lost.
Yeah, but John, you got to see. You got to see him do the intro. It looks like he's gonna have a heart attack. I swear to God. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna film it next time. I think we owe it to him to film it. But Mr. G, you know, you've left us all in suspense this whole week about this girl that you had to shave her back and go to Boston to do it. And
oh yeah, but blue. True
oh
blue.
Yeah, Boston blue. Blue.
Boston blue.
Boston blue.
Now I got to just say one more thing before he tells the story. He has a pink cowboy hat over his microphone, which thank God is protecting the microphone from getting spit on it from him. But it says Boston Blue on it, so I don't know if that's our hat or if he's.
It is our hat. Actually, Boston Blue is now I call it Boston Cowboy Blue.
Oh,
so let me. Well, this is actually her hat.
Yeah.
So when you went up there and raped, you went up there and was with her. She gave me the hat.
Yeah, I actually took six Cialis.
It actually looks like a token from a dead
Jimmy,
girl.
Jimmy, this is true. He took six Cialis.
Six?
I did it 26 times. Yeah, 20 the whole weekend. She's never been, had that done in her
truly,
life.
Yeah, he's truly, your brother is truly out of his fucking mind. So she went, there's no question in my.
No, he's.
You know, so watching him do that intro, like near heart attack, with his girlfriend's hat on the mic.
Yeah.
She actually, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong.
He's,
I mean,
he's seen the Blondie star on this guy. He's
the wig, the whole, the smoke, the streamers.
No, it was the best. It was actually the best. It was the best
weekend
of my life.
Show up to yourself, brother.
The best weekend of my life. The best sex I've ever had in my life. The reason why I call Boston Cowboy
is
because she rode me like a horse.
Isn't there a warning sign on the Cialis? You know, you're supposed to lick one within like 36 hours, or something, right?
Yeah, he could get a heart attack.
What are you out of your mind?
I think he was in the hospital with your dog.
Six Cialis's? Yeah, I should have took you to the vet with my dog.
I'm still hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You probably could be hard for half a year.
Jimmy, he's been pronounced dead 10 times or more. Yeah. My brother, Mr. V. Yeah, here's this guy.
Well, if the 60 hours didn't kill him, man. Boston
Blue. That's
he's
just
he embalmed himself with 60
hours. He's dead now. He's just too stupid to lay down.
All right. Let's calm down here for a second.
I'm an Irishman.
All right. Let me ask you this question, Mr. G. You told me. I don't want to hear the whole sordid tale because we kind of got the idea when you told us about the 60 Cialis and doing it 25 times. But tell us about the last time you guys did it.
Oh, the last time.
That's a good story.
Our last time. So you know, I usually always hold out because I want to, I want to please my woman. So I won't come right away. You know, I want to please her. I want to make sure I'm like the man and make her come as many times as she wants. You know, it's like a badge of honor. You know,
climax is the.
Oh, I made her come 23 times. I'm the king from New York. So I was there Friday. From Friday night, we stayed at the Marriott right there on the Boston Harbor there. And from Friday night all the way till Sunday, every half hour we were fooling around.
I actually feel bad looking at this hat. I feel bad. Yeah, I do. It's a nice hat.
It's a real cowboy hat.
Like she died. He killed him, this is what's left is the hat.
Yeah. But there actually was shaving going on.
Jimmy, I've heard some pretty sordid tales that you've told me about yourself. So.
But I never brought a souvenir back. You know what I mean?
Wait, I didn't wear the hat when.
I mean, this is pretty sad.
She actually wore the hat.
Let's let him tell the story. Let's let him tell the story.
I feel bad.
So now you know it's Friday with Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday I'm going to bring her back to where she lives about 10 miles outside of Boston. So I go there, so I meet her. Our one son's there. His son's 17 years old. He's into skateboarding and stuff like that. And I talked about skateboard. Then he wanted to get something to eat, so I took him to get something to eat. Then I came back, and I go, she goes, why don't I give you a tour of the house? I go, okay,
How big was the house?
It's a pretty big house, just like a house like Dave's.
By the way, I was right, John. She is still married.
She's not. What are you talking?
She's separated.
I knew this couldn't be normal.
No. She's getting divorced.
You got a picture of her?
She's getting divorced. You hear that?
She's getting divorced.
She's in the process. He's living with another girl.
But she's still married.
He's living with another.
Right.
Dave, you're still married, too.
I'm not married at all.
You got a photo?
That's the problem. I'm not married.
I'll see
it. I didn't bring it with me.
Oh, yeah, he's holding out.
That's a bunch of horse shit.
When you got there, did her back knee?
You find her online. She's online.
George, when you got there, did her back need shaving?
Well, yes, there was some back shaving going on, and that's the truth.
Back door shaving.
But the back shaving was my back. She actually shaved my back.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, that's kind of like foreplay in bodybuilding.
That's a good girl. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
So, I mean, all around, I knew, you know, if a girl's going to shave, I always bring my back shaver because I know if a girl really cares about me, if she's willing to shave my back after I...
Scary. All
right, hold on.
So he's like the that's just like the movie Bronx Tale. If when the guy gets
we've all been in the car,
and when he goes around the car, she unlocks the door. She's the one. So right. When you meet a girl, if she shaves your back. She's the one.
That's the one. The Boston Blue is the one. I'm in love.
Right. Everybody's got their thing.
She knows I'm in love. That's all right, Boston Cowboy. I love you.
So you
baby.
actually carry a buzzer around with like on dates, like.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
he goes around with it. Yeah.
He doesn't bring his toothbrush, but he brings his back shaver.
Wait, oh, I do bring my toothbrush.
Oh, you got a toothbrush now?
Yeah, because if she shaves his back, he stays there.
Hold on, Jimmy. You guys want to see my toothbrush?
Oh, it's his finger, I forgot.
Oh, God.
I told him that last week already.
That was the most disgusting story I ever heard.
It is. It's this finger. The one that's longer than the other from last week, I don't know. This finger here is my toothbrush finger.
His female index finger.
Maybe that's why he's shorter than the other one.
His female index finger is his toothbrush.
No, they're actually even.
Well, that's right, why. That's why mine's even, because I use it as a toothbrush.
I think we've spent enough time on the one Smalley brother. Now the other Smalley.
No, you don't. You still haven't heard the story.
So she shows me the
bedroom.
That's
why I'm done. It's enough already.
Quiet. Quiet down over there.
She shows me the bedroom, and
until you move here, you can't say anything.
And the next thing you know, she shows me the bedroom. I'm in the bedroom, and I'm like, oh, it's nice. No, blah blah blah. And one thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, we're on the bed, you know, going at it like cowboys. You know, that's why I nicknamed the Boston Cowboy. She's on top of me, boom, boom. The headboard's banging against the thing. And meanwhile, she's oh, my son's in the bathroom, right? And then,
Didn't know the son was in the bathroom.
You didn't bring your son, did you?
No. Right. He's 17 years old. He's not in the bathroom. So she goes, yeah, you're in your eyes downstairs. Next thing you know, we hear a shoe hit the door. You know, someone threw a shoe at the door. Apparently, her son, the whole house was shaking. He heard everything.
Oh, man.
He heard the whole thing.
Isn't that sick, Jimmy?
It's horrible, man.
Now, why weren't you in costume?
Only pictures, like, shaving, fucking, and back shaving.
And ask him if he was wearing the wig the whole time.
Did you have the wig on?
I wore the wig when I got there. They all think I'm a wrestler.
So her son must think you're out of your mind,
yeah.
Right?
No, he actually likes me. I mean,
took him to McDonald's.
I took him. Get him up.
Burger King. Would you pat him on the head and give him a cheeseburger?
Hey.
And say, look, I'm going to be with your mother for an hour now. I don't want to hear nothing out of you, all right?
Right.
Here's the cheeseburgers and fries. Go to court.
You have to deal with the truth. So his mother, but his, listen to this. This 17-year-old kid, he's starting to have sex. So his mom actually gave him this, which I thought pretty cool, but mom gave him some
condoms.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Gave some lessons.
Some disruption or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah, he gave his mom a dildo, right? I mean, come on.
All right, let's leave Mr. G. I got to tell you the Bobby Small story now because...
Yeah, because... No, we should let Bobby Small talk.
No, I got to set it up, though. I got to set the story up.
Is it true? But first, I want to know if it's true.
It's a definite 100% true story. Because he and I'm going to make it. If I tell it, it'll be faster than if he tells it. So I'm going to set it up, and then I'll let him take it from there. He comes running into my house about a year and a half ago. He's like, "I just saved a kid on your block." I said, "What do you mean you saved a kid on my block?" He's like, "There was a kid being victimized or beat up. Was going to get beat up by some big like hoodlum guy. I don't know, I don't even know where he came from." And Robbie's jumped on him and wrestled him to the ground and saved him. And I didn't think anything of it. He must have mentioned the story about 500 times. And go ahead, Bobby, take off. What happened?
No, it was a summer night. Basically, what Dave said is true. It was a summer night, and I'm driving by, coming to Dave's. He lives sort of on a dead end. And I'm driving. All of a sudden, I'm saying something is wrong with this picture. I look over, and some kid's head is getting shaken like a freaking rag doll. And I'm looking, I'm saying, it was a man about 29 years old beating the shit out of a 12-year-old kid like you've never seen your life. Like smacking his head on the floor like a rag doll. The kid had a broken nose, he's bloody. So I pull over to the side. I'm scared shit. I'm saying, what the hell's going on? What am I going to do? Here I am approaching 50. I'm looking over. I says, I got to pull this out of my hat. I can't let this happen.
But he's an athlete, though,
no,
John.
I can't let this happen. The guy,
former wrestler.
About him?
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I was gonna say, what's the age got to do with anything?
I mean,
we're all approaching 50 over here.
No, I know.
Except
for
Jeff, he's approaching 30, right? Oh, he's past 30.
After listening to the show, he's approaching 50. Yeah.
John, you're 55, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, at this time, Jimmy, a lot of people had pulled over, but everybody was just too afraid. I was scared shit myself. I'll be honest with you. This guy looked like a fucking killer. So I pull over. I says, I gotta go. So he has the kid, and I jump up on him. I grab him in the chokehold.
This is right over here?
Right here.
Right in my block.
Two doors down. I jump up.
It's a nice neighborhood. Though.
Yeah.
I jump up. I got him in a pure fucking lock. He wasn't going anywhere. So I put my knees all the way up by his neck. And I got him, and I'm coming down. I'm like, if I hit, I'm going to break my shoulder. He hits his shoulder. I hear crack. The guy gets up. He swings. He hits me twice. I duck in the top of the head.
I never heard the part where he was swinging at you. He's embellishing the story, John.
I'm not embellishing the story. I had to wrestle him there, and I had to hold him down.
I thought he just broke his shoulder.
I had to hold him down. This guy was...
I was swinging you would have broke his shoulder.
This guy was on PCP, man. If you've ever on PCP, man.
PCP? What the hell is that?
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know. Acid,
that pipe stuff.
No, he was on heavy, heavy medication, this guy. Anyway.
So he broke his shoulder, and then he got to start swinging at him.
He was swinging and stuff, and then tell him what happened, Dave, after
well,
that.
Well, started flailing.
Listen to this.
So Robbie told this story 100 times. It's already changed in incarnations. But I believe I do know for a fact, because my neighbor told me, that he did save the kid's life, okay? Because the guy was I don't know what this guy was on or why he was doing what he was doing, but he was doing it.
Who was the kid, his son?
No, the kid on a block. No. Just some random kid on a block.
A guy that just did this out of the blue.
Yeah, like some guy was wandering around, like all messed up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, but tell him what the guy did afterwards.
So
he's going to tell him now.
The
neighbor,
did you get him arrested?
The neighbor comes up to to Colette yesterday and says, you know, I just want to thank your friend again. You know, I know it has been a long time, but I don't know if you heard. She's like, heard what? The guy who Bobby wrestled to the ground just was on the front page of Newsday for killing his wife.
Murdered
his wife over the weekend. So Bobby probably saved the kid's life. You know,
yeah, felt good.
What happened to the kid?
What, the kid's fine. He's but
did they give you any kind of reward, Bobby? Right?
They were gonna take me to dad. I don't need though. They were gonna give me dinner. Or
they
something.
They want you to come by the house. They told me.
Whatever. Thank you. Whatever. That's all.
So
good.
We have a hero here, a whack pack hero.
Yeah.
Wow, whack pack hero.
Yeah.
That's some story.
That's a good story.
That's a good story.
You gotta make up like some kind of a plaque and put it up in the studio.
Hey guys, you know how it is. A lot of times in life, if you're in Manhattan, you're going around, you see people getting mistreated. You don't want to jump in because you don't know what happened. It's not your business.
That's true.
Sometimes you got to take a stance.
But in this neighborhood, you knew that it wasn't right. That's why.
Yeah, something was wrong.
Now after you became a hero, I got to tell you another story that you relayed to me the other day. After Tom Terwilliger was on the show, John, last week on the Heavy Muscle Radio show, Bobby called me up. He's like, you know, I competed against Tom at his first contest at Uncle Sam's Hot Body Contest.
Uncle Sam's.
Yeah. 1981. I was bodybuilding before my brother was. I used to work out for weights and everything, right? I was in a show. I couldn't believe it. Now that I go back, you could ask Tom. You can confirm this. He was in his first show at Uncle Sam's. He won the whole contest.
This is definitely going to need to be confirmed.
Yeah, they need to confirm this. And they all used to hang out there. The Pagans used to hang out there. And Jimmy DeBoca confirmed. The Hell's Angels, the Mob. Everybody hung out at Uncle Sam's, man. The place was a complete show.
That was a crazy place.
It was nuts.
You said to take
Richie
guns
Barrett,
off.
All his...
I know Richie,
he had all his school guys there bouncing.
Yeah. Everybody. Hell's Angels, everybody.
Every weekend.
We had Stinky worked there.
They had dogs in the parking lot.
Bonji.
That place was crazy. Yeah. I used to go there all the time. I loved that place.
Yeah.
Place
was great.
They had Twisted Sister played there.
The place
you know
great.
Dee Snider played there?
Really?
Yeah, man.
So did Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Did he really?
Michael Jackson played there?
Yeah. I don't believe my
Twisted Sister was playing.
They all played there.
How did you go from Twisted Sister to Michael Jackson?
I don't understand that.
We started Copeland, Rob. Remember down in the back room with Michael Jackson?
We did everything. They had rat traps down there, tunnels that led across Hempstead Turnpike.
That's when he had a real still had a nose.
The fight's there. Let me tell you something.
How's your back now, Josh? You clean?
Hold on. Yeah. So I want to get back to the hot body contest. You were actually in the contest with him?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a contest with Tommy Terwilliger.
Really?
And who won?
Tommy won. Tommy came in first. I came in fourth.
Mr. G was trying to tell me that he was in the contest.
No, he was a dancer. Yeah. Mr. G was dancing on the stages.
I was there. He used to hire me as a dancer.
Yeah, true.
Really?
Yeah, I used to dress up as Tarzan.
That doesn't surprise me.
And also, I used to dress up as Rambo. And I used to dress up as Rambo, and I would have a machine gun, and I would fill it up with rum and cokes, you know, when I was machine gun water pistols, and then I was dancing. The girls would come up behind me, and I would stick it underneath between my legs, you know, on front of my crotch, and they'd come over and they'd squirt it in their mouths and stuff.
I used to talk to
George one weekend.
Yeah, I know.
I used to talk to Tommy and his brother all the time. I mean, they were there. Ask them.
Talking about Mike Terwilliger.
Mike Terwilliger and Tommy. They were crazy, too. But the problem...
They used to own a gym over here, you know.
What was it called?
Maximums.
Maximum Fitness. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
I used to train there. I know Tommy very well.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Yeah. You know Tommy, too?
Very well, I know Tommy,
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. It's a small world.
John, you know I know Tommy, right?
Of course.
Yeah, he used to host the American Muscle on ESPN.
What was that?
It was Muscle Sport USA.
Muscle Sport
USA.
They were always good people. When I used to talk to him and Uncle Sam's, they were always everybody was kind
of there. Tommy went to Colorado to film something. And
he moved there.
He met a girl, and I think he eventually married her.
He moved there, yeah.
And he never came back. Yeah.
Never came back.
I got another story to bring up before we get to the our first
this
guest.
This is a good one.
I don't know if you guys saw this video. I know John saw it. I don't know if Jimmy or Mr. G saw it. There's a video on YouTube of a guy like playing with a crocodile, and he's like,
taunting
he's taunting the crocodile, really. He's like petting him on the thing, and he's saying, this is how you have to touch him, this is how you have to handle him. And he's like sticking his hand in his mouth and pulling it out at the last minute.
I would never touch him or handle him.
Well, he does it, and he's trying to show people how to put your hand in the mouth, and the thing got his hand. And it was
snapped shut.
I mean, the guy's screaming bloody murder. Jimmy, what do you think about people like this?
Well, you know, who was that guy that died with the stingray? What was his name?
The animal hunter.
Cuomo.
What's his name?
Cornwell Jack or somebody?
Oh, what are you talking about, Mr. G?
Cornwell. What the hell are you talking about?
I think he's having an acid flashback.
Steve
the animal guy,
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin, right.
Oh, man, pull that out of his
wow.
Thank you, Boston Blue. Good day, mate.
Seattle is wearing off. I respected a guy like that because he did it with the class, and he really didn't like hurt animals or taunt them. He did wrestle alligators though, right, and crocodiles. Yeah, but guys like that, like the guy you're talking about,
right?
That's just off the watch bullshit. You know what I mean? Because that's a wild animal, man. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
how can they stop
and then he's telling
filming?
People you got to pet it. Who the hell's going to pet that goddamn thing? You know what I'm saying?
Why did they stop filming right at that point?
Because
why
they tried to get that crocodile off his hand.
What they should have done was they should have filmed the rest of it and getting his arm ripped off and screaming for bloody murder. Because they should they let people know you don't stick your hand in front of a croc. Them things are big, man.
But Jimmy, don't you think something...
Dave, was it an alligator?
It's crocodile.
Jimmy, crocodile's big, bro.
They jump.
Jimmy, don't you think some things like sticking your hand in a crocodile's mouth should be self-explanatory?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
If
you could put your hand in, as long as you don't touch the tongue, because that's how what they do is that when they feel something, they close their jaw.
Not with this guy. The thing just snapped his hand. He didn't try to go near his tongue.
Yeah, he probably wasn't in the mood, man. The crocodile was like, who's this asshole over here?
It was big. It was like 6-7 feet long. It could have started twisting him.
What kind of pressure did they put on you?
They got
10,000 pounds? Is it like a pit bull?
I think the crocodiles have the strongest bite. Pound for pound in the world. I think that nobody has a stronger bite than a crocodile.
A shark.
I saw a whole thing like that on a... Huh?
Over a shark?
Way more.
Your ex-wife might.
Really? Crushing strength. Yeah.
Right, let me ask you guys a question. Does anyone know the difference between a crocodile and an alligator?
Size of the balls.
So the crocodile is much, much, much bigger, and they're located more like in the African region down, southern South America, where alligators are found all over, like Florida. And they're smaller, the alligators. That's like the only difference I know between the two.
Crocodiles.
That's pretty
smaller.
Good, Jimmy. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, crocodiles come from sharks. Crocodiles come from Australia, I thought.
You can tell right there that Jimmy watches a lot of Discovery Channel.
Yeah, well, that's all I really watch. I watch History, Discovery. Those are my favorite shows. I don't watch TV.
He's loaded with esoteric facts.
I got the info right here. The easiest way to tell is the shape of their snout. The alligators have more of a U-shaped head, whereas the crocodiles kind of come to a point, their nose.
Right.
So that's how you can tell. So if you're about to be bitten by one of those, you'll know.
Do you know how to tell the difference between a male and a female?
But you can get in a lot of trouble trying to figure it out.
Trauma Viagra.
Trauma Viagra.
You see the thing roll over with a Woody.
All right, right before we're going to break in a second, but I got to ask. Well, let's go to break first, John. And when we come back, I'm going to ask these set up the segment for this next guest.
Okay, cool.
All right, be back in
this is After Hours featuring the Whack Pack. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Species Nutrition.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
All right, John, we have our first and only guest on the line. I don't think we really even need another guest after we get this guy on the air. He's what they call a pickup artist, John, and I don't know if he likes that title or not, but we're going to ask him when he comes on the air. He teaches guys how to hook up with other girls, and evidently that seems to be all the craze lately, and a lot of people are flocking to people like him to learn how to talk to women. So I guess without further ado, let's get him on the air. Glenn, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Thank you. Thank you very much. And
welcome.
And getting to that title, pickup artist, I love it because it really is an art. And the more creative you can be with your pickups, the better. So by all means, if you want to call me a pickup artist, go ahead.
Now, Glenn, who nominates you for a title of the pickup artist? I mean, like who gives you this thing? Is there some kind of club you're in, or do you have to like pick up a certain amount of chicks to get that title?
to be classified as a pickup artist,
right.
I think there's a lot of people going around who call themselves pickup artists and claim to be pickup artists, but results is what matters. And if you're getting consistent results and you have lots of quality women in your life and you're happy with your dating life and it's a skill that you have learned and acquired and practiced and fine-tuned, then by all means, I think you should give yourself the title of pickup artist. But there's no formal pickup artist college with a degree. So, although, who knows, maybe I'll start one after this show.
That's right.
Well, speaking of that, you know, like, how do you market yourself in terms of your, you know, your score success rate? I mean, how does Glenn become known as the pickup artist with enough, fame and notoriety to hold, you know, these two-day seminars you charge $1,395 for? How do you get to that point as the sort of coach of pickup artistry?
Well, it's a lot of hard work, and, you know, this didn't come overnight. Basically, your actions speak louder than words, and people talking about you speaks volumes. I've been in the community, or we call it a community. I've been in the community for about 4 years, and over that amount of time, I've had hundreds of students and hundreds of friends who have seen me in action out there with girls, and they can all testify to the fact that A, I have hundreds of girls in my life that I love and I adore, and that B, when I walk up to a girl, she's pretty much going to be very, very attracted to me. So my reputation precedes me, and on top of that, I work for a guy who just got voted number one pickup artist of the year. His name is Brad P., and he was voted by a guy who was mentioned countless times in the book The Game. His name is Thundercat, and he is basically the only authority out there on who's for real and who's not. So Brad was voted number one pick artist in the world, above Mystery, the guy on VH1, also above Style, the guy who wrote The Game. And I am Brad's head coach, and I was his first coach that he ever hired. So in other words, he felt confident in me enough to call me his first head coach, because he knows that if I can do the job, it's going to make his reputation look good. And if I couldn't do the job, it would make his reputation look bad. So he felt confident enough to make me his first ever head coach.
Now, let's just preface something, John, because this book, The Game, it's funny because a guy who took one of my training courses sent me a copy of it. He'd been talking about it for incessantly. And I said, look, I'm not even looking to pick up girls. I got a girlfriend. But he's like, you got to read this book. And he sent me this book about 2 years ago, and I never read it. But then I hear everyone talking about it. Glenn, tell us a little bit about what the book's about without, you know, getting too long-winded on it.
The book is about, you know, when I first got the book, I thought it was a book of fiction. I didn't really think it was real. The book is about a biography of a guy who went from geek to pickup artist, who completely revamped his whole life, completely made over his whole identity, his image, and really wanted to become successful with women, because apparently his dating life was very unsuccessful. And it's just pretty much a biography of his adventures in the world of the secret society of pickup artists. In a nutshell.
So is there really a national registry of pickup artists? I mean, you guys are known, you have competitions with each other.
The bigger names are, yes. The bigger names are. There's a lot of lesser name people out there trying to get in on the fun and the money, and they're putting up lots of fake videos of pickups on YouTube, lots of fake recordings of pickups. But yeah, there is a few people in that world who are very well respected and very well known, and you know, we're part of that group, and very happy to be there, and we've worked really hard to get there as well.
Glenn, you said before that you know, pretty much you can go up to talk to any girl and make her like you. Like, what would you say to her, like a typical girl you'd see in the street? You know, maybe you're walking down the street in Manhattan, because I know you work there a little bit, and you see a girl you really like. What would you say to someone like that in a scenario where you don't even know who they are?
Now you're going to give the Whack Pack all the ideas to use for when they have to do it for real. when Glenn's gonna critique them.
Wait, I didn't hear that. One more time, I'm sorry.
Just ignore him. I just want to know, like, what would you personally say to a girl if
you're
just met her?
Up.
No, I just want to know. I just want to know. Don't worry about it. They're gonna have their own ideas.
Don't let those guys hear.
Okay, I'll give you guys a good little thing to say to girls that you've never met. We call them openers, because what it does is it opens up the conversation. So my game nowadays is a little, you know, I'm not really into the routines as much anymore, but God bless them. I think they're awesome. I think they work. One of the openers that Brad created that I still use today, which is absolutely phenomenal, it can work in just about any situation, is I call it the seafood girl. And basically I'll walk up to a girl, and I kind of walk up like almost like a little shy and timid, even though I'm really not. And I'll just say, excuse me. And she'll say, yeah. And I'll say, you know, I don't normally do this sort of thing, but you don't like seafood, do you? And I'll give a little smile, kind of like I might even ask her out on a date, but who knows? And 9 out of 10 times the girls will be like, well, I don't know. Why? And I'll be like, all right, check this out. When I was in the 6th grade, there used to be this girl who loved seafood. She would bring it to school every day. She stunk up the whole cafeteria. She you'd just be sitting there eating like squid and octopus out of this like little brown paper bag, right? And we used to call her the weird seafood girl, and you look just like her. And at that point, girls will either die laughing or they'll start screaming, there's no way you're calling me the weird seafood girl. There is no way I am not the weird seafood girl. Wrong girl. And I'll say, I'll be like, listen, that's cool, because, you know, if I was her, I wouldn't admit it either. And that's kind of like the knife in the stomach. So then she'll just look at you like, all right, wise ass, right? Sometimes the girls will say, hey, I am the weird seafood girl. And then a lot of times girls will be like, well, listen, it's really not me. And I'll be like, okay. You know, I'm pretty sure I believe you, but just in case, there's something really important I need to tell you. And she'll say, what? And I'll say, you know, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. And she'll say, for what? And I'll say, for, you know, for all the times I picked on you. Because, like, now that I'm older and more mature, I always said that if I ever saw the weird seafood girl, I would tell her I'm sorry. So do you forgive me? And they'll say yes. And I'll say, hug it out, and we'll get a hug. And then I'll just might go into something like a little more natural as a routine.
They get more natural than that.
The Whack Pack is snoring over here. They don't think it's gonna work.
You tell them a joke. That's
hey, Diddy, forget about it. This is New York. The pickup. Come here. We'll tell you how to fucking pick up. That sounds good, but it sucks. Come here.
Forget about it. You gotta tell him a joke, man. That's the bottom line. What he's saying is tell him a joke.
No, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. You know, but you go up and tell the girl a joke. You know, make a laugh, and then boom. Then you make
sounds like
relax.
You don't have confidence when you gotta talk about the seafood girl.
I'm a little stuck on the seafood thing.
Yeah. You don't understand it. That's right.
Here's the thing. Most guys are. And,
yeah, explain that to me, because
the
only seafood I know
like,
is, you know, when I'm with a chicken, and I go between a leg,
he smells.
And I get a little tuna or salmon, whatever's down there. So that's my idea of seafood. So... explain like how you mentioned the sea. Like, well, if I took a girl on a date, said, "Yo, baby, like, she might get offended if I'm talking about seafood."
No, this is match. This
man,
is
here's
a girl.
The thing, man. You ready? Guys are thinking way too much already. The number one reason why guys don't get laid is because they're thinking. No thinking. Thinking's bad. Already, you're picking it apart. And the thing is, guys who are successful with women would totally understand why something like that'll work, and guys that aren't have no clue why something like that would work.
Yeah, but you're talking to geeks. We're experts.
Oh, yeah, you guys are real experts.
No, we're natural.
You guys are all going to get a chance in a second.
He's got a good point, but we're much more natural. We're good-looking guys.
I always visualize myself like an animal. If I'm with a chick and I want to get laid, I'm sniffing her. And
we're definitely different, though.
I let nature take its course. I just don't have a conversation.
That's why most of the girls run away from you guys when you see them in public.
You guys are all going to get a chance in a minute.
So let me ask you something.
You know,
there actually really is a lot to a cold approach. It's not just like you walk up to a girl, you make her laugh, you get a phone number, and then you're going to get laid. There's a lot that goes into walking up to a girl and making sure that, first of all, you've demonstrated enough value and you have enough attraction that you get to know her, she feels comfortable with you. This way, when you do pick up the phone and give her a call or shoot her a text, she's going to respond to you. There's a lot that goes into a pickup, and a lot of guys will just be like, yo, just, you know, make her laugh and get a phone number. And it's like, sure, that's great. I can get 500 numbers a day doing that. But
how about nonverbal communication?
It's huge.
I know
nonverbal communication is huge.
What's his name again?
Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, no bullshit. We're just joking with you. You got a great thing going. I just wanted to tell you. I had a friend,
cool.
Vinny, who used to go to the beach. This is no bullshit.
Wait, let him finish about the nonverbal. I want to hear that.
I'm telling you, he used to go to the beach. He wore a fucking tight bathing suit.
With a bulge.
He put a sock over his type of sock over his jaw and walk around the beach. This is the fucking truth.
I'm sure that really worked.
They said Jones Beach 4. They all did it years ago. Well,
let me hear what Glenn's got to say about it. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, nonverbal communication is something I start working on with right off the bat, but then I also start, you know, I don't give them too much to worry about with nonverbal communication because what, you know, we typically call that subcommunicating or body language, because most guys who come to me are a little nervous, so I don't want them thinking too much if they're doing everything right. But as the sessions go on and as I work with them more, I really start stressing the importance of subcommunication and body language.
Thank you, Glenn.
Absolutely imperative.
You have an office, Glenn, that people come and sit and talk to you?
No, they lay on a couch and tell me their problems.
You got to also remember, Jimmy, you know, all you guys have been hard. Most guys don't have a rap. The guys that are coming to him predominantly are people who are afraid to approach girls and talk to them. So he's giving them openings so that they can come and
we understand. Yeah, well, you know, he's talking to a room full of guys that we never had a problem picking up women. You know,
I understand there's a lot of men out there who don't have a clue.
Yeah, so he's in,
how to approach a woman.
Glenn's helping out society.
I understand that, yeah. I think he should have an office where people should come to him.
He does. You do seminars in Manhattan, correct?
Right in Union Square, man. I love it.
Oh, God, I love Union Square.
Wow, we got to come. Your next seminar, we'd like to come.
Right by the New York Film Academy.
Could you like email Dave?
I think you guys might know a couple guys who've already came to one of my seminars.
Glenn, we'll promote you.
Maybe you could shoot Dave an email for the next one, and maybe we'll all try to come as you know.
He doesn't want you morons there and ruining his seminar.
What are you talking about?
They were just going to look and take notes.
Dave, we're the best promoters.
They're naturals. I can learn from them.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Why not? Here's what we're going to do.
Believe it or not, I try to hang out with as many naturals as possible because guys who are naturally really successful with women still can teach me things that I don't know. You know, there's a lot of people in the community who really try to find out what makes naturals so natural. Like, guys, you all know them. Guys who just get laid all the time, all day, every day. And you're like, yo, what the fuck? And, you know, these guys, they don't even know what they're doing. But whatever they're doing is just attracting masses of women into their life. So if you guys are naturals and you're really good, man, I'd love for you to come along. You know, I could probably learn a lot from you just the same.
Well, here's what we're going to do, Glenn. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the Whack Pack members one at a time, Jimmy, Mr. G, and Bobby Smalls. We're going to take them one at a time, and we're going to pose a scenario that they just roll up on this girl, this smoking hot girl in the grocery store, and what they're going to do to, you know, start macking on her. And then, you know, you critique when they're done.
Geek. Wait, so I'm gonna critique them.
Right.
Yes.
They're pickup line.
We're giving them a hypothetical situation. They're in a grocery store. They roll up on this really smoking hot girl like in the produce section. And now they're gonna attempt to hit on her now.
Oh,
and then
can we use the vegetables as part of the?
Yes, you can.
You can use whatever you want.
Quiet down, guys.
Glenn is gonna, you know, critique your style.
He's gonna tell you if you would work.
Right.
Okay. So the real world sometimes is a little different, but let's go for it, man.
Bobby Smalls first.
Bobby Smalls first.
Come on, let's see it. You got a big game. Let's go.
What am I at? Oh,
everyone's bragging.
Oh, Jeff, the producer. Go ahead, Jeff.
That's right. Hey,
here he is. Big shot here.
No, you were bragging. Everyone was bragging about how they're going to pick up girls.
Come on, let's see it.
What would you say to a girl in a grocery store?
I'll start first. Forget it. Let me start.
Jimmy the Bull.
I'm walking into the grocery store. I'm heading over to the produce, right? And I see this beautiful girl there, right? That's the scenario?
Yes.
So normally now, if I was single, you know, and I was doing my thing, because I was a very great hunter, you know, like in my day, I'd walk over to her, I'd see her, you know, fussing through the vegetables. I'd say, man, that's a smoking hot chick there. And naturally, I started, you know, kind of getting closer to her and make it like I'm looking for the same vegetables that she is. But naturally, I'm not. I'm just bullshitting, right?
Yeah.
And then I would say, I would make a comment about the vegetable. Like, if she was looking at the lettuce, I would say, you know, I would pick up a head of lettuce, say, excuse me, man, what do you think? You think this is a good, I'm new at this, you know. Is this a good head of lettuce? I mean, has it got too much water? Maybe, I don't, and then she would say, oh, no, you would want to go with that lettuce. That's much better. I'd pick it up and I would say, why is this better? You know, and I'd have a whole conversation about the lettuce. And then I would say, you know, gee, you're really nice. I mean, you know, that's wonderful. I said, maybe one time we can get together, go out to eat. You could teach me, things that I don't know. Because I'm new at this. I'm new, I just broke up. I had a really long relationship.
Nice.
I'm single a couple of months now. I'm kind of green with all this. I really, you know. And then I would get her down, get her defenses down. That's what you got to do, is get the defenses down. Because you can't approach a girl and be like,
here's the thing. First,
you got to go in. You got to go in easy.
Okay, Jimmy, that's enough.
All right, no. That it was cute, man. First of all, you're in a grocery store. I mean, how many defenses do you think she has up? I mean,
well, you got to understand something. You haven't seen me, so if I approach the woman, you know, she might think right away, "Oh, this guy, he's looking for something else." So I would approach her through the food.
Here's the thing, man. Yeah. You ready? When I walk up to a girl, I want her to know I'm there to fuck her. I'm not coming in any other way.
Well, that's good. That's your approach.
Let him finish. I want to hear him finish.
Hold on. I want I want guys to adopt this mentality. I don't want them to go in sneaky and then kind of like, oh, you know, get our defenses down and then be like, oh, you know, come teach you. I want guys to be like, listen, man, I'm a dude. You're hot. I'm coming over to flirt with you. And you know what? I'm coming over to qualify you to see if you got what I want and need. Not, you're not going to be asking me the question. I'm going to be finding out if you're the type of girl I want to hang out with. Because women just aren't used to that. So I think,
well, how are you
going to
get
up,
all that up front? Like over a head of lettuce? You know what I'm
like,
saying?
Let's hear his response.
Yeah, you got to break the ice. I'll be quiet, Jim.
You're walking up and you're like, yo, you know, is this kind of like, you know, is this a good head of lettuce? Like, to me, that's like really funny and flirty, man. So you should be looking for her response to your jokes.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If she's really cold, if she's cold and says, yeah, that's good, and walks the other way, then I know I ain't going anywhere. But if she starts grabbing the letters with me and smiling and talking about the letters, I know she's kind of coming, you know, she's kind of liking me. And we're talking about, and the letters is just a tool that we're using, you know.
So you're sub-communicating your real interest, but you're just talking about that head of letters.
Exactly. Right.
How would you approach that, Glenn, that same scenario? What would you say?
No, wait. Let the other two guys do it.
They're gone, the other two guys.
I like the way he was laughing and he was flirting about the head of lettuce. I think that could be really, really great. I would make it maybe like a little flirty or a little sexual. Like, I would maybe start asking her, like, you know, to come up with things that maybe we could do with the head of lettuce. Not necessarily about sex, or ask her, like, all right, so she's like, oh, he has a great head of lettuce, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'd try to get her to tell me about if she would, like, cook for me, or if she would do something without saying it. So in other words, like, instead of being like, all right, like, for example, like, all right, there's a pickup I have. It's on our website. You can listen to it. Where I just walk up to a girl and she's looking at raspberries, and I'm just like, you know, I'm like, raspberries? And she looks at me, and I was like, you know, I hate these. How many times did I tell you not to bring this shit home anymore? I was like, they give me this, like, weird little rash. And she was like, starts laughing, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I was just like, anyway, what'd you do with all that money I gave you for cooking classes? You know what I mean? And she started kind of playing to that. We got into this whole role-playing thing about our relationship and our life that we already had together that we didn't. See, the thing is, if I start flirting with a girl, I want to keep that flirting going until she starts asking me more normal questions.
Can I say something now? I totally agree with that. See, now, I would probably do the same thing, but I'd have to start off like I was doing before with the letters, and then as she was feeding into it, then I would say, you know, if you were my girl, you would probably make a mean salad. You know, I would do the same thing. I would lean towards an imaginary relationship that we had, but we didn't have. But I've done that many times. You know, I kind of suck them into an imaginary relationship, you know. I'll tell you another thing I used to do, Glenn. I'll tell you another thing. I used to go to clothing stores, women's clothing stores, okay? Now, you might think I'm fucked up, but this is what I used to do. And I used to go to a women's clothing store. I'd make like I was shopping. Then the girls were looking. Usually, there's always hot chicks in the women's clothing stores, right? And I had a girl approach me. And she would say, wonder why I'm looking at women's clothes. Either I'm a freak or maybe I'm shopping for my girlfriend or, you know, whatever. So they would come over and they said, can I help you? And I said, yeah. You know, I says, I got a sister and her birthday's coming up. And I'm buying her a blouse or a pair of pants. And I said, matter of fact, she's about your size. You know, I said, Can you help me? Maybe, you know. And then we'd go through the whole store, and I would start flirting with her and asking, you know. And I didn't even have a fucking sister, you know what I'm saying? But I used to do that, and then I end up getting their number, and I got the whole thing, and I used to do it all the time. Worked great, man. It worked great.
Glenn is just dying to run the streets with Jimmy the Bull.
Yeah, you gotta come at me one night, bro.
I would love that, man. Who's next?
Well, you know what? The other two wise guys who were screaming about how great they are picking up women slithered out of the room, John, like under the guise that they had to go to work, which I think is full of crap.
I think they're full of crap too, man.
Hey, Glenn, how many guys you know carry around their girlfriend's pink cowboy hat
and he left
that says Boston Blue on, and he claims how much he banged her over the weekend, but all we got is a hat? What do you think of that? He told us he took 36 Cialis. I don't know what that means. I guess that means he's got no dick whatsoever, because if he needs 36 Cialis,
36.
He's got no cock. He's probably got to use tweezers to pull 36. It out. While the Cialis is taking effect, so he gets, you know what I'm saying? And all he got is a hat over here.
Now,
he's got a little proof, right? That she left the hat in the car.
What's with the hat? He comes home with the hat. What is that? Was that a trophy?
Maybe a little souvenir, man. Who knows?
Let me throw a little scenario out there at you, Glenn. Because I consider myself, I think I have a pretty good, you know, rap now. Because, you know, I'm well known in the bodybuilding community.
You've been engaged for 6 years.
I've been engaged for 6 years. That's a turn on. But you know,
some great rap.
I thought you said he was gay for 6 years.
No. But my point is that I'm not the kind of guy, if I was in a mall and if I was single, I wouldn't just, if I saw a really attractive girl, I probably wouldn't go and just talk to her. That's not my style. I need to be in a setting that I feel comfortable, whether it be, you know, at a gym or maybe at a party after a bodybuilding show. And there's plenty of girls there, so that's not a problem. But I wouldn't just walk up and cold talk to someone like that. That's just not my style. What would you tell someone like me? How would you know, break the ice, like type of a come on without sounding like you're so obviously throwing a line at them?
Go online.
Well, I mean, here. So in other words, all right, you're only comfortable. All right, well, first I would find out in your own environments that you are comfortable in, do you actually do cold approaches? So in other words, if you're at the gym and you see a smoking hot babe and she's like working out, do you actually, and let's just say she's got an iPod on, do you actually walk over to her and start having a conversation with her?
No.
She's got an iPod on.
So if you don't do it in the venues that you're most comfortable in, and you're not doing it in other venues, then you're not really doing any sort of cold approaching, right?
No, not at all. I'm not a cold approacher. No, I'm a warm approacher. I got to warm him up first.
Warm approaches are the best. If she's giving you eye contact, right. If she's smiling, right. If it's through a social circle, dude, it's like a done deal. But the cold approach is a little more difficult. So in these scenarios, what I do is I usually get guys physically used to the fact of walking up to girls first. So in other words, what I'll do is I'll get them warmed up to the idea of walking up to strangers, just women and men. So I have them just walking around the mall, ask people, hey, you know, is there a PacSun in this mall? Oh, yeah. And then, you know, because it gets them used to just walking up to strangers, because a lot of times they're not in a very talkative state. So then what I'll have them do is I'll have them walk up to hotter girls and ask the same question to just say, and then keep the conversation going. So, oh, yeah, real quick, you know, my little niece is coming into town, and I'm looking for a really good chick flick. Do you have any recommendations? So to just get them used to the idea of walking up to a woman they don't know and talking. Then when they're kind of warmed up, I start giving them different types of openers. And Seafood Girl is, like, fucking awesome, man. Guys are a little nervous at first, but usually the first reactions they get are through the roof, and girls love them. If they want to learn a little more direct style of game approaching, like walking up and giving a girl a compliment, I will teach them that sort of style as well. But usually I don't like to teach that type of game unless a guy has a bunch of experience. But there's a million different types of openers. I mean, you're just walking up to a girl and asking her a question. Listen, you guys are going to think this is fucking crazy, but one of the first openers I ever used was one by Brad P., and it was like called the Oprah Winfrey opener. And when I first worked with Brad, it was me and two other guys, and this was about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe about 3 years ago. And he was giving everybody different openers. And one of the openers he gave me was the Oprah Winfrey. And he gave this thing to me, and he's like, all right, we're going to go out in the street and start picking up chicks. And let me tell you something. I was like, I'm not fucking using this. I wasted my money. There's no way you could stop a girl walking in the street in Manhattan with this bullshit. This is fucking crap. I was like, I want to go home. So he's like, listen, guys, I'm going to do a couple demo sets. He's like, if you see me stop a girl, I just want you guys to just walk a little past and just stop. You guys can watch all you want, but just kind of like be on your cell phones and try not to creep the girl out. So we're walking down the street. And this fucking retarded hot model girl, every guy in New York has seen them. It's like they're tall, they're skinny, they're just ridiculous. It's like this retarded hot model chick walking in our direction. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to fucking stop this chick because I had never seen a cold approach before like this. And he jumps in front of this chick, and all I hear is the word Oprah Winfrey. And I'm like, there's no fucking way. And this girl's laughing her ass off, man. I'm like, this girl's fucking hitting him and laughing. I'm like, oh my fucking God. And the opener was just this. And it's, he just jumped in front of her and says, I need to ask you a really important question. She's like, what? He's like, do you know who Oprah Winfrey is? She's like, yeah. He's like, do you think she's hot? Of course, girls are like, ew, fucking no. And he's like, well, I don't think she's hot either. I've got this best friend who totally has a crush on Oprah. It's a little weird, you know, because he's like 25 and thin and white, and she's like 50 fat and black, and something's just not adding up. I'm thinking maybe it's her fame. And she's like, no. And he's like, yeah, you're right. It's probably the money. And she's like, yeah, it's definitely the money. He's like, all right now, if I give you $1 million, would you sleep with Oprah Winfrey? I was like, fucking hit him. She's like, ew, I would never sleep with Oprah Winfrey. He's like, all right, what about cuddle? Would you cuddle a big, fat black woman for $1 million right now? I was like, this guy just stopped this model in the street. She was going to who knows where, jumped in front of her, said, do you know who Oprah Winfrey is? And she's like, in love with him. I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
Really? It worked?
Well, here's the thing. The opener worked, but what really worked was Brad, the guy delivering it. Here's the thing. The thing that I learned is you could stop anyone anywhere with anything, but if you work, everything else works. And I try to teach guys that sometimes, hey, man, we're going to give you the lines to say. They work. They're funny. But ultimately, man, it's you that's dropping it. You know, there comes a point in every single session that I say to all my guys, and this is the God's honest truth, I want you to give me one sentence, the most ridiculous sentence you could fucking think of, and I'm going to go get a phone number from the first or second girl you see with that. And I had a guy, we had some hot dogs for lunch. He just said, all right, here's what I want you to say. I was like, all right, what? Hi, I'm Glenn, and I just had a hot dog for lunch. I was like, let's go. We went to Forever 21, Union Square. Girl's looking at some sweaters. I walk up. I'm like, hi. She's like, hi. I'm like, my name's Glenn, and I had a hot dog for lunch. She looked at me, and she's like, good for you, fucking freak. like, what about you? What'd you have for lunch? She's like, I don't know. I had a salad. I was like, I like salad, right? And I was like, all right, chocolate or strawberries? And she's like, chocolate. And I was like, I like that. And I was like, hot fudge or whipped cream? And she's like, whipped cream. And I'm like, warm shower or hot bath? And she starts getting all giggly. And she's like, hot bath. And I'm like, high five. And I high five her. And I was like, okay, let me think. Kisses on the neck or nibbles on the ear? And she's like, I don't know you well enough to tell you that. And I was like, all right, well, we're going to spend some time, blah, blah. Anyway, but the fact is, I opened this girl with telling her I just had a hot dog for lunch. So the thing is, like, I show guys that whatever they give me, I'll make work, because it's the person delivering it that makes everything work, not necessarily the lines. And I don't want guys becoming dependent on the material. I want them to become dependent on themselves. You know what I mean?
Now, Glenn, is there a way to tell, like if you're wasting your time on the wrong girl? Like, obviously, if you see a ring, she's married, you don't go try hitting on her. But is there any sort of kind of universal way to tell if a girl is actually approachable, or are they all approachable?
She's approachable?
I mean, you know, some girls, they have a boyfriend, they're engaged, or whatever. They give off this aura of, you know, don't come near me. You know,
I think everyone's approachable. Every girl, whether she's engaged, has a boyfriend or not, wants to meet a cool dude. Whether or not she'll sleep with you, hell, there's girls out there that will not cheat. End of story. There's girls out there that will cheat. There's girls that are out there that are married, that are very uncomfortable in their marriage. If I hear myself thinking and saying these things to myself, oh, she seems like she's in a rush, or she doesn't seem approachable, I usually quickly just tell myself, hey, this is a manifestation of approach anxiety, and I just go. I don't really say these things to myself anymore, but a lot of guys, when I say, oh, what about that girl? They'll be like, no, she was walking too fast, or no, I think she had a boyfriend, or no, I couldn't tell if that was a marriage ring. And really what you're doing is you're just making excuses for not approaching a woman that you really desire. So I usually make guys approach everyone everywhere in any situation, even if she's on a line in the store, if it's a woman's lingerie section, I don't give a shit. Doesn't matter. Go.
What if a girl says, like, fuck off, buddy? You know, what do you do then usually?
It's funny because recently I had a girl be like, fuck off. And I was like, well, come on. If you're going to tell me fuck off, like, really tell me to fuck off. I mean, I want you to take the gold in the fuck off Olympics. Like, one more time. Like, I want my hair to be flying back off my head. Come on. And she just started fucking laughing. You know what I mean? But if a girl tells me, if I, like, walk her through, I'm like, hey, do you like Oprah Winfrey? She's like, fuck off. I'll be like, well, do you? I just ignore it.
Right.
Right through me. Yes or no. Go away. I'm busy. I had a Russian girl the other day, and this is really funny, man. I walked up to her, and I told her that she was fucking delicious, and she's like, I'm leaving. And I was like, leaving? That's such an interesting name. I love it. I'm Glenn. And she just, like, looked at me like, okay, there's no way you just said that. I was like, you're not Russian, are you? Because she had this really strong Russian accent. And she's like, yes, I am. Why? And I was like, well, we just met. I'd like to spend some time getting to know you. And then she just starts, like, laughing at me and hitting me because, you know, she's giving me this attitude, but whatever she's saying isn't affecting me. So, like, if a girl is going to give me a little hard time, I don't really let it affect me. I just kind of, like, ignore it. It just bounces right off me. It doesn't even matter. And you know what? If I get blown out really bad, it doesn't affect me anymore. I don't care.
Excuse me, Glenn.
Go ahead.
Do you have any, like, things in your seminar that talk about, like, spontaneous, you know, meeting a girl and, like, see, like, the best times I've ever had with a woman sexually was when I didn't plan it. And I went out, and all of a sudden, you know, it just happened, and it was, like, a really good time. Like, I didn't have to think about anything. I didn't have to say anything. All of a sudden, it just, you know, boom, boom, boom. One thing happened, another. All of a sudden, we were in the car, ripping each other's clothes off. You know, I was back at the apartment. I'll tell you a quick scenario. I used to bounce in a club.
Uh-huh.
And they had used to have, this is going back in the 70s and 80s, just have the mud wrestling. Remember that stuff? And did I tell you the story?
No, I didn't hear
it. Mud wrestling. And, I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, they had the chicks, and a lot of chicks who do mud wrestling are lesbians. I don't know, or not most, all of them, but, you know, most of them, because I guess the contact and all that there, you know. So, that was a true story, man.
I tell you.
And somehow, I don't know how it happened. I was bouncing, these chicks were wrestling, and somehow I ended up with the two chicks. They took me home. I didn't even say anything, man. You know, I ended up in bed with lesbians. I ended up in bed, and they took me to a house full of lesbians because I was walking down the hallway. I looked in one room, two broads in bed naked. I looked in the room to the left, two broads over there going at it. I was like, what the hell is this? Like a bodega over here? It's so funny. I get in the room, and I'm with these two girls. They still had mud on them, you know. Actually, they had mud up their vagina because when I got up in the morning and I left, and I went to go take a leak. My piss came out in three directions because I had a pile of dried mud on my balls and everything, you know, because I guess from them wrestling, it all got inside them, you know. So I, at the time it was nice because it was like a lubricant. We were just going crazy, you know. But make a long story short, I had a wild night. I didn't plan it. And I fucked John in the back. No, what they used to use was like, it wasn't really mud, John. It was like a mineral oil with a, it was like, it was actually healthy for you. It wasn't really like outside mud,
yeah,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But like I said, I had a great time. You know, I fucked my eyes out all night. I was with all these chicks. I woke up in the morning, I had all these chicks laying all over each other. I was like, man, it was a great time, you know. But the only thing that got me a little crazy was when I noticed the front door was split in half. And I asked the chick, I said, what's with the door? You know, she goes, oh, my boyfriend, he's 300 pounds black belt. He gets a little crazy sometimes. I was like, I'm fucking out of here, man. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to wait home for this guy. So I pulled up my mud-covered balls and I left. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't plan any of that and I had a great time. So do you have seminars to talk about stuff like that?
We do. Sometimes we focus on, they're called like same day or same night pulls where, you know, basically you go out with the intention of finding a girl that you're going to be able to fuck that afternoon or that night, and you make that happen. That usually takes a pretty good amount of game to make stuff like that happen, but we do teach it. And usually, you know, it takes a guy who's a little more advanced to get the ideas behind that.
Glenn, I got another quick story. I one time I met another chick. We went out. We were hanging out. We just met on a whim. And we ended up drinking and hanging out. And she was, this chick was, a big girl. She was an ex power lifter, you know. So anyway, I ended up in a house, and we were both bombed, you know. And all of a sudden, she's at the top of the stairs in her robe. I didn't even ask her to get undressed. So I was downstairs in the foyer waiting for her. I thought we were going to sit down and have a coffee. I don't know. So all of a sudden, she's upstairs in her robe. She goes, get up here. I was like, all right.
So yes, sir.
I go, yeah. And she was a good-looking girl, though. You know, big breast. I mean, just a big, brawly chick, but it had a nice face, you know. So I'll make a long story short. You know, I go in her bedroom. She goes, go in my room and wait. I said, all right. I went, you know, it's a very demanding chick, you know. So I went in the room, you know, and all of a sudden, she had a cover over her bed. And apparently her Persian cats sleep with her, but during the day she, you know, covers the bed because the cats go on the bed. And I'm not a cat person, man.
You have a lot of Persian cat stories.
Yeah, I know. I hate cats. I hate them. I don't know. Maybe I was an Egyptian in my last life or so. I don't know. Whatever it is, but you know. So to make a long story short, we ended up going at it on the bed. I was bombed. She was bombed. We're going out of the bed. I'm doggy upside down. Back, you know. Now. In the morning, you know, like late in the evening, you know, she told me to get dressed and get the fuck out, right? So I say, no problem, you know. So I get dressed. Naturally, I had to take a leak before I left. So, you know, I came 3-4 times all over her, you know, whatever. I go in the bathroom, and I go to take a leak. I look down at my cock, and I see all this hair on the head of my dick. It looked like it was growing a beard. It was all the Persian. We forgot to take the cover off, so all the Persian hair... when I was pissing, it was coming out like 20 directions. Like, I looked like a Niagara waterfall. You know, and all the hair on my dick, I was like, I was, you know, whatever. You know, I just zipped up. I said, let me get out of here. And I went, you know,
we'll never get a sponsor job for the show. Never.
You got a lint brush?
That's a true story over here. I'm telling you.
All right, shut up for
all I know is that Glenn is like dying to run the streets with Jimmy.
Yeah,
no,
right?
This is stuff I never planned. Yeah, this is what I'm trying to tell you. That's all. It's just unplanned stuff.
Let me ask you a question, Glenn. Let's say you approach a girl, okay? It doesn't matter where it is. And let's say you see a girl that you really like and she's in a group of people, maybe with a couple of her friends or maybe with, you know, that one pain in the ass friend who's ugly and doesn't want her to hook up with anyone.
That's the one you hit on. You hit on the ugly one.
How do you do that? How do you pull that pickup off?
Well, it depends on if the ugly one's giving me the fucking attitude. Usually what I'll do is I win the group over. I befriend the ones that I think might give me a little attitude. But what I usually find is most times the group kind of hands the girl over after a few minutes. So you kind of like open up the group and then you kind of just like single out your target or the girl you're going after a little bit. And slowly but surely the group will normally get the idea of what's going on. Sometimes you need to facilitate that. And there's different things you can do to kind of isolate the girl away from the group of friends. But usually you want to be approved by the whole group. And that's like a whole sort of different dynamic. It's real easy to walk up to one or two girls. But when you're walking up to a group of like 4 or 5 girls or a group of 3 girls and 2 guys, there's a lot more that can happen. And you have to be prepared for it all. A lot of times you'll walk up to a group and, you know, other people in the group will just start saying random shit at you. And that's kind of trying to throw off your game. They don't know that's what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. And you need to be able to, like, handle that as they're coming at you. And, you know, you're always going to get the cock block. So the best thing for cock blocks is get the cock block late. Go grab another dude. Bring him over. Here. That's it, man. She's not going to block her own cock, right? So, it is a pretty complex dynamic if that's what's really, you know, happening, and that's the situations you find yourself in. But by all means, man, any situation can be won, any situation. And a lot of situations are won if it's that and you're out at a nightclub is just by putting in the time and not being willing to kind of, like, run off and try your luck somewhere else.
Glenn, what are some of the things that a guy should never say to a girl?
Well, in the very beginning, I think shitting, farting, pissing is always pretty fucking bad. any crap like that. I don't want guys talking like Beavis and Butthead. No Family Guy bullshit. But as far as things you should never say to a girl, you know, I think... whatever you say, if it's congruent with who you are and your personality, I think you get away with just about everything. you know, I wouldn't, like, in the first, you know, 3 seconds telling some girl, like, yo, you know, I fucked this girl and I came in her ear and she couldn't hear for 3 days. Like, no, maybe, but, like, you know, usually you want to steer away from that kind of crap, man, because what that'll usually do is creep girls out. And once a girl's creeped out by you, that's it. You're in creep zone. There's no escape. Right. Forget about it.
Okay. Some girls like that, though, Glenn.
Creepy guys? I don't know, man.
No, coming in their ear and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, they can't hear? Sure. No, put it in my ear. Okay.
Glenn, you've been a great sport. Yeah, I think you really helped out a lot of guys here. And what if some of our crazy listeners want to get in touch with you, or even our not-crazy listeners want to get in touch with you and sign up with your course and learn more about how to pick up girls? What's the best way to go about doing that?
The best way is going to our website, which is Brad P. Presents. BRADP presents.com, exactly the way it sounds. There's tons of free material there. There's a free email list you can get on where we'll email you like great tips once or twice a week. We have tons of products, pickup products for sale. You can find out about workshops, boot camps, private one-on-one trainings. You can also download live pickups from me and Brad off of the website. Basically, it's your one-stop shop for, you know, learning to become more successful with women. And once again, that's BradPPresents.com.
What kind of products would you buy at the store there? I mean, what do you guys sell?
Well, all right, your boy Jimmy there might really like this one. There is an interview series, and one of them is called Interviews with Naturals. And one of the guys is named Pheromone Kid. And... he's nicknamed Pheromone Kid because he's the king of 10-minute pulls. This guy, if you stick this guy in a gas station in the middle of fucking Texas, he'll sit there and wait till the first cute girl walks up and fucking gets some gas, and he'll be in the bathroom jerking off on her face. Surely.
Jimmy,
that's
my kind of guy.
Yeah, 10-minute bathroom pulls. And, you know, Brad interviewed him, broke it down bit by bit by bit, his whole game down. You can also buy an e-book on instant attraction, how to generate instant attraction with any girl anywhere. You can also get the Underground Dating Seminars, which is a CD set which goes through pickup from A to Z. It's the most complete system out there on the market. We also have a year-long program for guys. It's called the 30-30 Club, which is amazing. It just means you're going to be committed to doing 30 approaches every 30 days. And it's a year-long system where you start out with the very fundamentals, the very basics, and as you progress, you get into social circles, threesomes, same-night lays, same-day pulls, advanced sexual escalation, stuff like that. It's really a phenomenal year long.
How come you talk about this before, yeah, man? Where the hell was all that? That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's fucking great, man.
That's advanced techniques.
That's what we should have been talking about.
That's
dude.
Advanced techniques,
well,
Jimmy.
What's wrong with that?
You're not ready for that, Jimmy.
Somebody's amateurs. We're gonna have him on again.
Yeah, the 10-minute pull, man. Pheromone Kid. He's amazing. And, you know, the first time I listened to his CDs, you know, I went out there and practiced this shit, and within a week, man, I'm telling you, man, his system works, and it works good.
Wow. I'm going to pick up some of that, John. I'm going to get by it for Jimmy.
Yeah, I got it for you. Because usually I do 20-minute pulls.
Yep.
Takes Jimmy 20 minutes. He can't do the 10-minute pull.
Jimmy's the king of the 25-minute pull.
Yeah, whatever, man. If it's under an hour, it's all good to
That's
me,
true.
Man.
Glenn, thanks for stopping by, man. Any other things you want to say, last-minute words?
No, I'm all good. Thanks for having me on your show. It was really great. Jimmy, you're awesome.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening, man. I really hope you
come
check
us out.
Hey,
if you need any assistance on one of your seminars, give me a call, man.
Definitely.
Thanks, Glenn. Take it easy.
All right, thanks.
Glenn was some character there, John. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know what? It's funny, but, you know, a lot of, you know, I saw the Whack Pack listening to when he was first talking, and they were like, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But you know what? If you're a guy who can't talk to women, you're not a good-looking guy, you know, you have no game, no rap, you don't have 20-inch arms. I mean, this stuff probably really, really helps guys talk to women and approach them.
Yeah, there's only one drawback to this thing as far as I can see. And it's like he just talked about that 30-30 club where you commit to doing 30 approaches in every 30 days for a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say now out of your 30 approaches – a day. What if, you know, like 15 of them are successful? So now you've gone out on 15 dates.
Nope.
15 different women.
No. You got 15. You got 15 numbers. What you do with those numbers is a different story.
Yeah. Well. So you get, you know, if especially like in New York City, there's hot women all over the place.
John,
so
how
you're
about
out
the
there
financial
working.
Factor?
You're right down the financial district. You're out working the system.
No.
You got 15,
it costs a lot of money to go out in 30 days, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Now you go out with the girl once. You had a great time. You had a great time with six of them. Now what do you do? You got to.
That's why I like the threesome idea. I wanted them to talk about that because that's just.
Yeah.
How
do you gracefully get rid of the ones you don't want to go out with anymore?
Well, I think there's a weeding out process, especially now with text messaging. He recommends text messaging, calling, and you kind of find out who you want to go after and who you don't. You know, we didn't get to the follow-up from what he explained to me when I talked to him earlier.
We got
to
have him on again. We got to have him on for the advanced routine.
Jimmy wants the 10-minute pickup. He wants to really learn that.
Yeah, I wanted him to. I thought the advanced, when he was talking about the advanced stuff there, I was starting to get it. I also saw my eyes. I woke up. I was, you know, I popped up out of my chair. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, if Jimmy could get down to 10, then that doubles his odds.
Absolutely.
That's right. That guy must be a real character, that 10-minute guy.
He must be hysterical. I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, I'm sure that I bet just watching a video of him, if they can videotape one of his pickups.
Let's try to get him on the show.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, it's funny, but Mr. G and Robbie Smalls, as soon as they had to start talking about their pickups, they ran out of the room.
Hey, did you notice that?
Yeah. Did you notice that? They disappeared, completely hightailed it out of there.
They
actually
jumped off their chairs and ran through the door. Yeah. I thought there was a fire somewhere. Now,
Mr. G's approach is he just screams like a maniac. And so if you get some crazy chick.
His approach is he wears the wig and he's got the poppers. He probably, before he has sex, he probably has to do the intro. He puts the chick on the bed. He comes in with the smoke machine, the wig, the hat, the poppers. And the girl's probably saying, what the hell did I get involved with over here? You know what I mean? And then he comes in.
You know what we should do?
And the chick's probably saying, I got to get out of this fucking room. Either that or
we should call up
Boston
Blue and get her on the show.
Like saying, I got to let me fuck him because he's going to kill me. You know what I mean?
We should have Jimmy the Bull interview Boston Blue about what the date was like.
Yeah, we should get him on the phone, man. Let me interview her.
And you know, Bobby Smalls, as much as he talks, you know, he's got no, you know, there's no game there. There's no game there.
Zero.
He talks. Zero. No. He'll talk their ears off. That's his game.
He has no game.
He'll talk them to death.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everyone who's so quick to dismiss Brad P's methodologies are probably going home and signing up on the website right now.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it was an interesting, you know, you know, the fact that these guys broke down the science of how to approach girls and the psychology of women, I think it's interesting, you know.
Yeah, but you know, if you ever listen to women, I mean, Lord knows I've interviewed a ton of them in this biz, okay? The same, they always say the same thing. When they're looking for a guy, what do they always say? Do they ever say, I'm looking for the guy with 22-inch arms and a 30-inch waist and chiseled abs? I have never heard a girl say that's what she's looking for. So they always ask for, you know, the guy that makes me laugh, a good sense of humor. You know, somebody who's comfortable in their skin, you know, confident.
Yeah, Dr. Feelgood.
So, I mean, if you obviously, if you put all these components together and, you know, act accordingly, I mean, you can, I think, substantially increase your game.
Well, you know, I think that and that's what he was really trying to show you. You got to make the girl laugh. It seems like that seems to be the universal icebreaker. If you can make the girl laugh and start relating to what you're saying to her, even if it's the most ridiculous thing you said to her. And in that light, probably Mr. G does do well because he says a lot of ridiculous things out of his mouth. If you could follow up after making that initial statement, I think that you probably have a good game right there.
That's where the game comes in. You got to be able to, like you said, you got to be natural. You got to be able to keep going after that, you know, after that story. Just delivering that squid story, the seafood story.
Right.
You know, I can see how that could be treacherously successful if you deliver it right.
I
could also see it being an abysmal failure if, you know.
I still don't understand that
Bobby
seafood
Smalls
story. I'm a little confused, John.
It's just an icebreaker. He's just busting her balls is what he's doing.
But
it's
seafood,
nonsense.
Why seafood? Why not like, you know, a steak?
Because that's the story.
Seafood.
There was a girl in school that ate seafood for lunch every day, and he's trying to pretend that she's the girl.
And they used to pick on her. He's saying he was going to apologize. So he's like, he's appealing to her, you know, good nature.
It's just funny if you think about it.
I understand. Kooky. I thought he just had something with seafood, this guy. I don't know.
Yeah. You were too busy putting him down, you and Mr. G.
You were, like he said, you're thinking too hard.
That's right. Right. I'm me. Right.
Yeah, I think it's another interesting point. He says, don't think too hard about what you're doing. Just have fun with it, you know?
Exactly.
That's what being a natural is all about, right? You really don't think. You just do. Right. You just react, right?
Right, like you on the radio show.
Yeah, right.
This is all too complicated. My pickup method is the best.
What's that?
Abstinence?
I just sit in the corner, find the girl I like, and lick my eyebrow.
Lick your eyebrow.
Wow. That would even turn me on, John.
Mr. G's approach is the more props, the better, though. Yeah, but that's without a doubt.
Probably. Yeah, Mr. Jesus. It would be so hysterical to see Mr. G like in full pickup mode, and he's got to have like an assistant, you know, to
carry around his stuff.
I gotta say something.
Carry his stuff.
I went to his training.
Start the smoke. Smoke going and the music.
John,
you should have seen what went on in this house, John, before when he started that whole. It really looked like we were in Madison Square Garden with the WWE wrestling here.
I gotta say something, John. As crazy as he is, right?
Yeah,
with all his props and shit.
Yeah,
his last girlfriend was a very good looking girl.
Yeah, really? No, he gets good looking girls.
Yeah, I was actually shocked because when I went there way back when we were hanging out, you know, at his studio, he says, "Oh, my girlfriend's coming over." And I never met his girlfriend before, so I was saying to myself, "I could imagine what this chick looks like." You know what I mean? I picture with like a clown hat on. I don't know. You know, with him, who the hell knows? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, this girl comes walking in, and she was. Actually, pretty beautiful girl,
yeah,
man.
No, he gets good-looking girls.
I mean, she was, you know, like a very athletic body, long brown hair, pretty. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I said, what the hell is she saying?
Girls want to laugh. I'm telling you. He makes them laugh.
He does make them laugh.
He must do a good job, man.
See, maybe you should start wearing some more clown outfits and wigs.
I start wearing wigs and stuff.
Maybe you should carry props.
Yeah, I'm going to carry, maybe I'll borrow his Boston Blue cowboy hat or something. I don't know, some poppers. You know, when I meet a chick, I'll blow a popper out the window, wear my hat, you know?
And maybe you should try taking 60 Alice, too.
I'll take 60 Alice.
Instead of letting your dog eat it.
Yeah, that's why they find me dead with a Woody and a cowboy hat on. They want to know what the hell I am. They're just
trying
to
know what's going through
me.
His mind. When he's counting out six Cialis, why not five? Why not seven?
No
what
idea.
Made him choose six?
That's probably all he had
left. The magic number of Cialis
to
take.
Jimmy's right. George is in excess. He probably had six in the bottle. He's like, oh, I'll just take them all.
That's right.
All right, guys.
We're six times the fun.
Jeff's giving me this evil eye. Actually, we haven't even talked to Jeff. So, Jeff, are you still conscious over there?
Yeah, no. You know, Glenn actually said a lot of interesting things. You know, if I wasn't already with a beautiful girl, Sarah, then, you know, what I would have to do is stop someone in the street and say, excuse me, would you fuck Oprah Winfrey if I gave you $1 million for some seafood?
Are you going to try
that?
That's
the line I came up with.
Are you going to try that later?
You're going to use the condensed
version. No, I actually am, yeah.
You going to try it? Yeah. I think you should. I think we should all go around and actually try these lines out and see if they work, because we're all in relationships
We just got to try because we're all in relationships.
We're in relationships, I'm saying, so we got nothing to lose.
My girlfriend knows I'm out of my mind, so if I said some crazy shit, you know, like just doing a demo, she would know that I'm just, you know, I'm nuts.
Maybe
you know?
We should videotape Jimmy doing one of these lines.
Sure, we'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it at the Mets. We'll do it at the Mets at April 11th.
Got to do it on the street.
Yeah. We'll hidden camera Jimmy doing
these
lines.
Should I wear a wig or no wig? Should I do the George approach or should I be
Maybe we should video you and George and see who's more successful.
Well, we got to do it separately.
No.
I don't want to be seen with him.
No, separate. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Remember on Saturday Night Live, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd
did
Wild
and Crazy
Guys. So we have the new version, Mr. G and Jimmy the Bull.
Yeah. And you know what we'll do? We'll see like how many numbers we can get like in a half hour.
Yeah. They go out macking. We go to a club and we let them loose.
Make sure I got a little Kettle One around.
You can do whatever you want.
My girlfriend knows three martinis. I'm out of control. That's the end of me.
One glass of wine, you're out of control.
That's true.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, this was. I hope this was a success. We'll have to see. You know, all these Whack Pack shows, John. You never know if people are going to buy it or not. And
I guess
we really don't even give a fuck, so it doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. Whether if you guys
we got
don't
the
like
equipment,
it,
we might as well use
don't
it.
Don't listen if you don't like it.
You're going to have good shows. You're going to have mediocre shows, like anything else. Yeah. You know what I mean? You get good days, you get bad days, right, Jeff?
You know what I think we should do? We should have Brad, we should have, I mean, Glenn back in, when we build the studio. We should bring in a couple of chicks off the street and see, let's see what his pickup lines are. See, girls he never met, and we'll say one at a time, we'll bring him in and we'll see how this guy tries to pick him up.
Yeah, that's a great
idea.
I'd
like to put him to the test, man.
I would. I think he. I think he
have my personal feelings about him. I'm not going to mention it on the radio, but yeah. I'd like to see him in action. I really would.
I bet he would blow all of us away.
We should go out with him with a remote cam and do it right on the street.
You know what, John? I'm convinced. You would think if you probably looked at us all together in a room, you'd probably say that guy's like, there's no way that guy's picking up anyone, and he would probably pick up 20 times more people than all of us combined.
I'd like to put it to the test. I really would.
It's all in the game, I'm telling you.
It's all in the
Yeah, but you had a point before, Dave. You said, like, what made him, like, who crowned him King Pickup?
He explained that.
Yeah. He did? What did he say?
There's an association of them, you know, nationwide, like a group. And they're known. The good ones based on,
like
on
their get out of here, please. Come on.
Based on their record, based on their their kill ratio,
based
they
on
get
my,
known.
My balls.
It's like bodybuilding, Jimmy. Yeah. Everyone knows that you do crazy lifts. You know, people talk about these pickup guys. You know, he picks up girls.
I guess. I never heard of it. Whatever.
What about the guy who's the king of the 10-minute pickups? He must have gotten his reputation from somewhere.
I guess. I don't know. I guess that it was a big world.
But he proves it. He proves it on tape.
I don't know. You know. I must live in a bubble.
Yeah.
You do. Right. The one you built.
All right, John, we're at the end of another episode of After Hours with the Whack Pack. Until next week, I'm Dave Palumbo.
And I'm John Romano.
And remember, we're not only the host of After Hours with the Whack Pack, we're also members.
After Hours with the Whack Pack has been an RxMuscle.com presentation. To download this and all past shows, visit RxMuscle.com and click on the radio link. RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. I'm Michael Bob in the